Learn live in the classroom at Online Trading Academy's Financial Education Center in Bellevue. You'll have access to state-of-the-art workstations where you can learn on a professional trading platform. Text Cairo to 57682 to register for a free half-day workshop and learn more.
This is our number
2222222.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I thought I'd try something new today.
What's that?
I want to do the mailbag
at
1:30. We haven't done that in a while.
It's been 3 weeks.
Yeah, well, it was more than that because it was before I had my brush with death.
That's right.
Emergency out-of-state surgery. And but here's what's going to be new. I think I'm going to try to pick the questions today. No offense to you, Sean. You've done a fantastic job as our curator of the queries. But I just thought I'd like to tackle it. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, your name's on the show. You're pretty good at tackling things.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like an obvious choice.
Sure. I will be your tackle dummy.
Although Sean doesn't sound very excited about it.
So when are we going to do this?
1:30.
Okay.
This afternoon, which is why, and especially I need you to make my life easy as a listener. So you got to get your question in right now because I'm going to have between about 1:25 and the end of Ursula's newscast at 1:32. That'll be the 7 minutes that I have to pick out the questions that Sean and Ursula and Nicole and I will all be fielding. And so I'm very excited about this.
So everyone hearing this, how can they get their questions in?
Oh, that's an excellent question, Ursula. I'll answer it because that's what we're going to do. You can text us at 98973. 98973. You can ask us about show stuff, about personal stuff. I guess you can ask about topics, but we talk about topics all the time.
Don't ask about Jake. He's fine. Everybody always asks about Jake.
But Jake, I'll just answer it right now. Jake's, we were supposed to have dinner 2 weeks ago. He had to cancel because they have two boys now. One of the boys was under the weather. But his screenwriting career is doing great. And then everybody asks about Drew. I texted with Drew a couple of days ago, and he says that he hopes Drew, who was hit by a truck outside of the radio station a couple of months ago, he hopes to be back here on a part-time basis.
Starting Monday.
Starting on Monday. Yeah.
Will be.
So now nobody...
Which is the best news ever.
Nobody needs to ask about Jake or Drew. They're both doing well, and that's that. So now... That opens up the field to everything else. Why, you seem to be annoyed when people talk about Jake. Nicole,
all the time.
I love you dearly as a producer.
No, I
it's
actually
not a competition.
Most people that ask about him say, we love Nicole, but how's Jake doing?
Right.
And so I always appreciate that it's always followed up, we miss Jake, but we really love Nicole. And
right.
I appreciate that. So
like
I'm okay with
it. People who
it.
Say, I disagree with everything you say, but you make me think. So, which I hear a lot. But anyway, no, it's not a competition. I've told you, you're the best.
I appreciate that.
You're the
that.
Best.
I appreciate that. No, yeah. I was just saying, these are questions we get a lot.
I know.
Come up with something unique.
But you seem to be particularly annoyed. Phil Vandervoort, I was just texting with Phil, my producer before Jake. 2 days ago. Because he let me know that Pecos Pit Barbecue apparently is going national.
Nice.
And, yeah, something like that. And because Phil and I used to run down to Pecos Pit and get barbecue. And then Sean Splain, my producer before Phil, he's doing great. So everyone's great. So there's the old producer rundown.
And it's Friday.
Yeah. So text your question for the mailbag at 98973. That's 98973. And I'm going to try being the curator of the queries today. And Nicole and Sean and Ursula and I, we will field any and all questions. So get those questions in for crying out loud. Or you can email us too through My Northwest. Okay. I got to play for you. I usually start with local stuff. But I have to play for you something that happened in Congress today. We have absolute children in Washington, D.C. So I don't know who the guy is, but there's a guy, and he's talking about discrimination, so a white guy. And then Maxine Waters gets up and responds. And apparently, when you get up to speak on the floor of the House of Representatives, you are supposed to address all of your comments to the chair. Mm. You're not supposed to talk to the other members of the House.
There's a decorum.
Yes, because then it can get personal. Mm-hmm. Listen to this in our United States House of Representatives today.
We are trying to make sure that we're making America great every day in every way. And the best way to do that is to stop talking about discrimination and start talking about the nation. We're coming together as a people in spite of what you say. Thank you, gentlemen. I yield back.
Gentlemen's time has expired. Members are reminded to address their remarks to the chair. The gentleman from Texas reserves, the gentlelady from California.
Okay, so now here's Maxine Waters to respond to that dude who said, we're making America great again.
Thank you very much. The gentleman, Mr. Kelly, please do not leave because I want you to know that I am more offended as an African-American woman than you will ever be. And this business about making America great again, it is your president that's dividing this country. And don't talk to me about the fact that we don't understand what happens on the automobile. No, I will not yield. No, I will not yield.
Okay.
Don't tell me that we don't understand. That's the attitude that's been given toward women time and time again.
The gentlelady will suspend. The chair wishes to remind all members that they are to address their remarks to the chair. Gentlelady will continue.
I respect the chair, but don't stop me in the middle when you didn't stop him in the middle. And so I shall continue. Don't you dare talk to me like that and think that somehow women don't understand what goes on the floor of automobile dealers.
Minded to direct her remarks to the chair. The gentlelady will continue in
order. I will continue to do that. However, I don't appreciate that you did not interrupt him when he was making those outrageous remarks about him knowing more about discrimination than I know about discrimination. I resent that, and I resent the remark about making America great again. He's down here making a speech for this dishonorable president of the United States of America. Having said that, I reserve the balance of my time, and no, I do not yield not one second to you. Not one second. Not one second to you.
We're so screwed. They're just a bunch of children back there. But I like the line. I resent you saying that we're making America great again. You know, you can disagree, but how does anybody resent wanting to aspire to our nation? It's just, I was listening to that thinking, again, how can anybody go into politics? How can any of these people, whether it's the Seattle City Council or the United States Congress, how can anybody sit and listen to all of these blowhards all day, every day? What a miserable life that would be. Next up in the Fastest 15, this could get interesting. Colin Kaepernick is suing the NFL, alleging collusion, that all the teams have conspired to keep him from playing. One of the only teams, maybe the only team, that's brought Colin Kaepernick in for a workout is the Seattle Seahawks. And one of the things that Pete Carroll talked about is he wants to be a starting quarterback, and he should be, but we got a starting quarterback. Now, I believe, personally, that it's much deeper than that. I don't think the Seahawks, after getting rid of Michael Bennett and Richard Sherman, and two of the guys who were the greatest distraction in off-the-field stuff or on the sidelines yelling at coaches in the case of Sherman, in the case of Bennett. The thing about Richard Sherman, he always practiced hard. He would go all out every second, every practice. Michael Bennett was not practicing hard last year. And you combine that with some of the sitting for the anthem and the distraction that came there. The Seahawks just got rid of two of their biggest distractions. And so now I don't think that they want to have Colin Kaepernick and have a bunch of camera crews following around their backup quarterback. But Colin Kaepernick's lawyer has deposed both Pete Carroll and John Schneider as part of their collusion grievance against the NFL. which strikes me, the Seahawks essentially are being punished for being the only team, and when I say probably the only team, the Baltimore Ravens may have brought Kaepernick in, mm-hmm. but neither side will confirm nor deny that. But
and the Seahawks brought him in twice, right?
Well, they brought him in last year, yeah. and then they were going to bring him in a month and a half or so ago.
Oh, that's right.
And the report was that Kaepernick said, I will not pledge to you that I'll stand for the anthem, and the Seahawks canceled his visit then. That's unconfirmed. The Seahawks deny that that's how it went down, but that was a reporter for NFL.com who said that. But
well,
they're being punished for giving the guy a tryout.
Are they being punished or, you know, to be deposed? You know, they're being given a chance to give their explanation as to why they did not fire him.
But the Seahawks are not being personally named. They are just one of 32 teams that they are alleging, Kaepernick's side is alleging, have colluded against him. But I still think it's very reasonable to conclude that 32 teams, or you know, however many, because a lot of teams don't need a quarterback,
mm-hmm.
but that they've all just independently reached the same conclusion.
Right.
And that is the downside of the sideshow that right. is Colin Kaepernick for a backup.
Yeah.
But the downside, and there are some teams where you could make an argument that Kaepernick may be better than their starting quarterback, but he didn't, you know, get calls from those teams either. But still, it's a team game, and the NFL as a league wants they're having a big meeting about whether they're going to let teams just stay in the locker room for the national mm-hmm. anthem next season, so that all of this distraction and I mean it's. It's hurt their viewership.
Right.
It's hurt their reputation. Fans are sick and tired of it. So the fact that the Seahawks now are being specifically targeted by Kaepernick's lawyers for bringing him in for a tryout seems a little unfair.
Maybe you should find a country that works better for him. Let him try. It won't happen.
Hey, are we getting any texts, by the way? I haven't pulled it up.
Yes.
For the mailbag?
Lots.
Okay. Okay. And again, I'm going to curate the question, so you have about six more minutes. If you want to be part of our mailbag next half hour, text your question to 98973. That's 98973. Next up in the Fastest 15, a dad down in California, he found out that somebody was sexting his 14-year-old daughter. And so when dad found this out, one night last year, he saw that his daughter was sleeping with a cell phone in her hand one night. Did your boys do that?
I think one, yes. One, yes. Not with in the hand, but close to bed.
And it just, we wouldn't allow the phones to be in the bedroom until our girls were out of high school.
And seriously? Then, wow, and you got away with that?
Yeah, I just
wow.
yeah, I thought it was good just very unhealthy.
Yeah,
and then they go off to college and they come home in the summer and it gets tougher and tougher to tell 19 and 20
sure.
year olds.
I need to get my phone out of the bedroom.
Yeah, I that's what I do.
I'd be a hypocrite. I'd be like, you get it out of the bedroom, okay, Mom? After you do,
right? That's the thing. I wake up, two, three, four times in the middle of the night because, as I've mentioned many times, I have a bladder the size of a pea. And so I'm waking up all night. And the first thing I do every time I wake up is I hit my phone to see if there's any text alerts or breaking news.
Start scrolling around.
Yeah. So anyway, this dad saw the daughter had the phone in bed, so they took it away. But then, a few months later, they find their daughter's got a cell phone again. And they'd taken her phone away.
She fell asleep and the phone was in her hand. So when he walked in and saw her asleep with a phone in her hand, he got upset. He said, you're not supposed to have a phone.
Right.
I didn't give you a phone.
And so they start finding out that a 42-year-old man gave the 14-year-old girl this phone so he could communicate with her. And then the man started sexting her, and some of it was just so creepy. The whole story, quite obviously, is creepy. But he asked the girl to call him Daddy Sugar.
Oh,
That was the nickname this guy wanted the girl to use with him. And so the girl's father decided, okay, I'm going to contact Daddy Sugar as my 14-year-old daughter. And I'm going to set up a meeting with him. And Dad brought a buddy with him so they could make a citizen's arrest when they met this guy in the park.
The whole world will see you. Let the whole world see you, dog. You don't get your Lester. Child molester. Chomo right here. This fool right here. This Chomo right here. Chomo right here. Chomo.
He keeps calling him a Chomo, which I guess means child it molester. So the dad busts him. Here's how the dad found out about this 42-year-old guy.
She was laying there with her head on her arm and a cell phone in her hand. And I don't let her have a cell phone.
And here's the report on how the creep got the girl the phone.
She was laying there with her head on her...
Here it is.
She met a man named Hugo Rabson, a 42-year-old, on an app called Whisper she could access without her own phone. Rabson eventually gave her a phone inside a hollowed-out book she kept to hide the phone at home. And he used it to send her messages.
And the texts, according to the dad, were just blood-boiling.
I was shocked at what I found. The messages that this man had sent to my daughter are worse than anything I'd say to a one-night stand, even.
That seems like an odd line by the dad.
I don't think he's even.
Even worse than what I'd say. What kind of crap was he saying to his one-night stands? This dad, and he thought about when they were going to meet this guy, and I can understand this. He thought about bringing a baseball bat with him.
Dude, I wanted him gone, off the face of the earth, you know? I mean, I couldn't believe he had done this to my baby.
And so they made the citizen's arrest. They hauled the guy to the cops, and the guy could go away for a long, long time. Next up in the Fastest 15, did you hear about the text that Hillary's crony sent to Donald Trump Jr.?
No.
There's a guy who worked for Hillary Clinton in her inner circle for 15 years, and he was so close to her that reportedly, if she had become president, he very likely would have been Hillary's Sarah Huckabee Sanders, her White House spokespersonpress secretary. So this guy sent a text to Donald Trump Jr. And I don't know if you followed this whole story, but Donald Trump's getting a divorce.
Right.
Donald Trump Jr.
Getting a divorce.
And his wife that he's divorcing, named Vanessa, apparently when she was in high school, she dated a guy who was a member of a violent street gang. He was a member of the Latin King street gang called, and his name is Valentin Rivera. So Hillary's crony sends a tweet to Donald Trump Jr. the other day that said, Vanessa being with a Latin king must have driven you insanely jealous. The machismo, the passion, tough act to follow. Did you wonder if she fantasized about Valentin Rivera when intimate with you? She did every time.
Oh, dumb.
There's a guy who could have been, and the whole point is, everybody says that, Trump's been a disaster and the people he surrounds himself with. Listen to the people who Hillary has surrounded herself with for the last 15 years, sending out vile tweets to somebody who's the son of the president, who, defeated this guy's hoped for candidate. So, yeah, bottom line, in politics, on all sides, a lot of bad people. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
Okay, I am going to spend the next 7 minutes, while Ursula's doing her news, curating the queries, and in the next half hour, Sean and Nicole and Ursula and I, we're going to field your questions. Anything about us, about the show, the mailbag is next.
I can't believe I'm going to be a mailman. Hey, you know what? This is all your mail.
The mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more. And you got to get it out. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in. And then the barcode reader breaks. And it publishes Clearinghouse.
Once a month or so, we need to just answer any question you have about any of us, about the show itself, about anything that's in the news. And we've opened up the old mailbag here. And Sean, this is tough. I didn't realize how tough it is being the curator of the queries.
Yeah, there's a lot of information to go through. You got to pick and choose the best, the better, the worst.
Oh, my goodness. I've gone through about half of the ones that were sent, and I'll go through the other half for the next segment. But, yeah, we're getting a lot of good stuff here today.
That's good. I do notice a bit of sweat on your brow. You've been working tough.
I have been. So here we go. Let's get into the mailbag. And if you want to try to sneak in a question, you still can at 98973. The first one is from the 425. Hey, team, sometimes we cannot stand the sound of our own voice. So if you could change your voice to sound like someone famous, whose voice would each of you choose? Sean. See, Sean has to hear his own voice more than ever because Sean's doing a lot of production here at the radio station.
That's true.
You hear him on a lot of commercials.
Yep.
And I think you have a great voice.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Dory.
So would you change yours to anybody else's?
Sure. The first name that popped into my head, and I don't know why, Javier Bardem. Not only he's a very sexy man, but mm-hmm. he's got a nice voice, too.
That's a very... You didn't know I was going to ask that question.
No.
That's a very random, off-the-top-of-your-head answer.
The first guy that popped in my head.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Ursula?
I got to think about that. Keep going. I got to think about that.
Yeah, you keep thinking.
I would go along the lines of Nicole Kidman because I love Australian accents.
Well, if you're going to go with an Australian accent, Olivia Newton-John.
Or Olivia.
Ooh, that's a good one, too.
Kick your shoes off. This always sounds so corny to me. But I'm always reluctant to answer questions like this because I am so blessed in life. And with some other voice, I can't imagine life being better than it is right now. And I know I have kind of a goofy voice. And I know that... But
it's you. You would be different if it didn't sound the way it does.
It's and apparently it's somewhat distinctive because when radio... People don't know our faces necessarily, but all the time people hear my voice and they immediately know it's from the show. And so
that's
true. I'd stick with what I got.
And I'd honestly say I would stick with what I have because of all the things that I want to change, and there are quite a few, my voice is not one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I mean, in everyday conversation, I probably talk a bit louder than this, but purposely on the radio, I make sure my voice is very low because I don't want to be annoying because I think I have too high of a voice. So I disagree.
You're a volume-wise, you're a low talker. We're sitting at the desk. Nicole will be telling me something. And I'll go, what? And then she'll keep telling me something about some news story. And,
which is funny because I can't hear at all. And
well,
then,
I know.
And I'm,
but I think you overcompensate for the hearing thing by talking... Softer. I can never hear you.
I mumble a lot. I've been told I mumble. I know.
Next up in the mailbag, and I'll answer this because I get asked this a lot, and it's a fair question because I'm doing commercials now for Sharp Vision. Colleen does on the morning show. Dory, I know you've had a LASIK vision correction, but I see on the studio cam you wearing glasses a lot on the show, as well as Colleen on the morning show. I thought when you have, and it must have auto-corrected because it came out, I thought when you had lascivious, you don't need glasses. I don't know how LASIK auto-corrected to lascivious. The answer to that question is you still need reading glasses. I was very nearsighted. I was pretty much legally blind. I was about 24/50 in one of my eyes, and I'm 20/20 now. But you still need reading glasses. And in fact, they told me, because I got LASIK when I was in my early 30s, and they said this may hasten your need for reading glasses, because pretty much everybody, by the time they're 45 or 50, needs reading glasses. I didn't need them until I was about 47.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, do I need them now?
I need them, too. But I don't like myself in glasses, so I just go and, like, life is blurry.
But when you go to a restaurant, I can't even read the menu now.
I have to have someone else actually read it for me.
That's just sad. Dory, does anyone come to you and argue with you on what you've said on the show? You try to be fair and informative for your listeners. Your fans appreciate you. But do people come and argue with me? I shut it off so quick that, and I've said many times, I don't think anybody in our radio station has ever heard me talk about politics or social issues off the air.
It's true.
I just choose not to.
No. Unless someone engages in it, I think you try to switch the subject. I mean, I just think that you would rather not.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I shut that down very, very quickly. I get my fill of it on the air. Here's one for Nicole. As soon as I find it here. Where'd it go? It was for Nicole. Now, I'll just have to paraphrase it. What is your career goal, Nicole, when you are no longer a radio show producer?
I have no idea. This is where I want to be, so I don't know what I'm going to do after this.
There are many opportunities. There should be many opportunities, and there will be many opportunities for Nicole right here. I'll answer that for you.
Okay. Sean, if you weren't in radio, what else? Do you have another goal that you would like to do in life?
Well, right now I'm actively trying to work more in production here at the station. That would be for the immediate future. For life after radio,
yes.
I'd say professional pinballer. That's a thing.
It is a thing.
Yeah.
The former Husky, what's his name? He played for the 76ers.
I don't know.
And the center for the Huskies. He does pinball tournaments and he owns a bunch of machines. You want to do anything after your radio career, Ursula?
Absolutely. I want to be a professional traveler.
Really?
I want to travel everywhere.
Okay.
Yes.
Todd McCullough?
Todd McCullough. That's it. I've told people that in the final quarter of my life, whenever that is, I hope I haven't hit the three-quarter mark yet.
Yeah.
I don't think I have. But whenever radio's done, which I'm thinking will be a long time from now, I want to work with parents and kids on financial plan. And that is, I'm kind of laying the groundwork for doing that.
I love that.
In my next career. Not necessarily to make a lot of money doing it, but it's something I'm very passionate about. So that's my next goal. Okay, I got to take a quick time out. We will continue with your mailbag questions. If you want to get yours in, go to 98973. Text your question there, and we will keep fielding your queries next. Thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. Industrious Office is just an amazing workspace right in the heart of downtown Seattle, right on 6th and Lenora, right where everything Seattle has to offer is on your doorstep. And at Industrious, you can start with the right size office and then scale up as your team grows. Go to industriousoffice.com/Cairo, schedule a tour, mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hi, I'm Tina Sorensen, General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio. When Cairo Radio listeners miss their favorite show, they find it on demand. Maybe you should be advertising here. Give me a call and I'll help you out. 206-726-6819.
I am the merry mailman, singing so merrily. I'm so very glad to be your merry, merry mailman.
We are answering your mailbag inquiries here.
I think Sean, your radio's coming in fine. This is the song.
Yeah. It's a little, it's an oldie.
It's oldie.
We got a lot of good questions here. From the 360, Ursula, why did you get into news instead of pursuing your singing career?
Because I'm not a very good singer.
That is not the truth.
Oh, my gosh. There are amazing singers out there who cannot make it, and I'm a mediocre singer, and there's just no way it would have happened.
It must be tough, because you are very good, but I also recognize that the people who are professional caliber, people I see on The Voice.
One of my best friends is a professional singer, and she did really well in New York. Here's another reason. Mm-hmm. My mother was a professional singer, and my best friend was a professional singer. So, you know what? In my mind, I was not a very good singer.
Got it. From the 253, Dory, when talking about Shama Sawant's husband, why do you always groan before him? Because I'm always a little wistful, and I'm very happily married, and I love my wife, but I'm always a little wistful that I didn't have a chance with Sawant. So it's just me being wistful. Let's see here from the 253. For those who will be cooking on Mother's Day, what are you cooking for the mother in your life? Do you have a request to your husband and kids?
No. Yes, we're going to Aqua on the waterfront there by El Gaucho.
You let somebody else cook for you.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't have to do dishes?
Oh, no.
Sean, you're a foodie. You doing anything for Mother's Day?
Actually, my folks are on their way to Florida right now, so they're going to be out of town for Mother's Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just decided last night what I'm making for my wife.
What are you making?
Halibut.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I just got a recipe for the Traeger, and my wife really wanted halibut.
Just for the halibut.
I knew somebody was going to say that, and I figured it would be you. Let's see here. A lot of questions about my daughter's wedding. People asking how my wife and girls are holding up. They're doing fine. It's overwhelming. It's a big production. It's a big deal.
What's one thing that has come out of this experience so far that you never expected?
Nothing.
Seriously?
No. Everything's been pretty smooth in the planning. I'm working on my toast this weekend. It's so ridiculous. I was driving into work this morning, and I kept hitting Siri and leaving myself text messages, voice text messages, because I have all these random ideas for the toast, and I've got to coalesce and put them all together. From the 425, somebody simply asked, Dory, can I come to your daughter's wedding? No. Let's see. Next up here. Another person wanted to know, have we picked out a song for the father-daughter dance? My daughter had an idea, and I don't think I can handle it.
I love the idea.
Okay, what is that?
Get through it.
One of our favorite places, both as we've traveled there together and as we've gone, you know, independently, I love the Bellagio fountains.
Oh, yeah.
My daughter loves the Bellagio fountains.
You passed on that love of Vegas.
Yes. So in she and I have the same favorite Bellagio fountain song. And she said, what if we dance to that? But it's that Sarah Brightman, who's the blind guy? Placido Domingo. Is it Placido Domingo? And Sarah Brightman. Time to Say Goodbye. Could you pull that up, Sean? But how sad would that be?
You need to do that one.
No, Time to Say Goodbye?
But it is a transition.
No! I'm going to start crying right now. This would be...
You're going to cry regardless,
well,
so just let
cry,
it
go.
Not to mention you've been practicing the dance most... This is a brilliant idea. Dory.
No. No! Time to say... Oh, wait a second. Here, listen. So this is the Placido Domingo and Ursula Roitin version of this song. No, I can't dance to this with my daughter at the wedding.
This was her request, correct?
It was her idea.
Her idea. Well, you kind of have to go with it.
No, I don't.
Your daughter's wedding.
And
this is the most important day of her life.
Here's
the
funny thing is, you yourself have said that you don't understand when people don't want to show emotion. Like if a news anchor, someone's breaking down on the air, and
well,
the people
I know
cut
I'm
away.
Show emotion.
So what's wrong with that?
Because. And I'm going to just picture the, you know, poosh, poosh, the fountain jets going.
Yeah. I bet that would be the one thing that people leave that wedding with. Like,
no, because nobody else will get it. Nobody else will get it.
You could have people squirt you in the face with water guns as you're dancing.
And we all know you. This is I think of the Bellagio fountain when I hear this song. Yeah.
And you know who's going to know it? You and your daughter. And that's honestly,
I really
at that moment,
don't think I could. I really don't think so. I'm getting teary. Look at me. I'm getting teary-eyed right now. Yeah, man. I think that was a particularly good batch of questions from
yes.
the listeners.
And, you are actually tearing
up. I know it. I know it. That's the mailbag, and the big lead of two is coming up next.